just want to make sure you can tell the difference. It's a great story that Arya read, a story that highlights the surprise, right, of a gentle approach and how it accomplished something. Gentleness. The opposite, apparently, well, apparently it says disrespect there, because meanness and harshness at their root involve disrespect for another and ultimately for ourselves. I want to read a few verses yet from Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but serve one another humbly in love. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And then there's a list there where Paul describes, well, he paints a picture of the acts of the flesh, and I'll read them later, and then he paints the picture of the fruit of the Spirit, which includes, of course, gentleness. If you were thinking about how to describe the difference between a fruit of the Spirit, its opposite, and then its counterfeit, which is manipulation, you might do it this way. Gentle as a lamb, the opposite is a wolf, and the counterfeit is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Gentle as a lamb. Gentle as a parent cuddling a little one who's been freshly showered, wrapped in a towel, smells so good, maybe clean pajamas. Gentler even than baby shampoo. Gentle as a purring kitten, or as the fluff of a day-old chick. In private moments, in intimate moments, moments in the richness of a relationship, yes, gentleness. But in public moments, at work, during election campaigns, at congregational meetings or classes meetings or synod meetings or on cable news networks, with their panels of discussions, gentleness? Not much. When we speak to each other or about each other, when we disagree, sometimes strongly, then what? Well, like Paul says, watch out, watch out. The whole law is summed up in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you're going to destroy each other. It's true in the church, it's true in the world. Gentleness can be a stretch for us. I don't know about you, but when I encounter meanness or harshness or anger or entitlement or being pushed around by somebody or maybe attacked unfairly, you know, it's pretty automatic for me to get my dander up and get feisty and blunt. Yikes. I don't like it when I get like that. And I say to myself, image of God? Whoa, I'm forgetting that I am the image of God, and I'm forgetting that the others around me are in the image of God. So, what do we do? What do we do with this fruit of the Holy Spirit stuff? All these wonderful things, right? Patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and now gentleness. Sometimes it can seem as if it's a list of good behaviors and attitudes towards which we need to reach, to aspire, to get better at them. Sometimes it can feel as if it's just another way Christians set these high bars for behavior and attitudes and then perpetually feel lousy and guilty because we just don't match up. You know what? That wouldn't be fair to the Apostle Paul. It wouldn't be fair to the letter he wrote to the Galatians. It wouldn't be fair to the Holy Spirit of whom Paul speaks, the Holy Spirit who was breathing into Paul and through Paul also into us. The closer I got to this morning, the more I kept rereading and rereading the whole letter to the Galatians. And in this letter, you know what? Paul is consumed with one thing. And he is unbelievably consumed with it. He wants to emphasize that Jesus Christ and the grace of God, that's front and center, period. It's not the law that's front and center. It's not keeping the law. It's not judging ourselves or judging other people by the law, no. Paul says, and he says it a whole bunch of times, he says, we are not saved by observing the law. No way, never. Nope, not happening. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, the Jesus who fulfilled the law in his life and in his death, the Jesus who died on Calvary's cross. And what's more, he says, we have been crucified with Christ. And so this isn't just me now that I'm talking about or we that we're talking about. It's we with Christ Jesus living in me. That's not just a teaching or a doctrine that we outline and believe. This is about our persons. This is about who we actually are. Our identities have been transformed. It's a mystery, and it's a wonder about who we have become, who we are now. We're not slaves anymore, but we're the free children of God. Wow. There's a death being crucified with Jesus, and there's a resurrection being made alive with Jesus. And the way that Jesus lives in me, the way I experience that truth of the resurrection and the connection to Jesus is through the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. So, this letter is not a letter that encourages us to be nice and better and our best, even though being nice and working at that and trying to get better, and that's all good and great. Here's the thing, Paul, if you read all of Paul's letters, this letter is the one where Paul is most upset. And maybe upset is the wrong word. Passionate is maybe a better word. Because he says to the Galatians, he says, we, God's people, we keep trying to think and frame and live life as if the law is the first thing. It's like we want to prove how serious we are about being obedient to God, about trying to get it right and imagining that somehow, even though we know better, somehow it's about demonstrating that there is a measure of success in our lives. We're getting better at keeping the law. And Paul would say, well, maybe you are getting better at keeping the law. Maybe it looks that way, maybe it feels that way, maybe it even is that way, but you know, at a given point, Paul says, so what? If you're thinking about this, first of all, in terms of the law and how you measure up, if that's the first thing, it's totally misguided, unhelpful, and ultimately ungodly way to think. Because if righteousness could be gained through keeping the law, Christ died for nothing. Bam. And Paul actually hammers at that point from this angle, from that angle, from here, from there. There are times in this letter where he doesn't sound gentle at all. And you know, with the Galatians, the big issue was circumcision. With us, the big issue is, you fill in the blank. But Paul would say this, don't ever make keeping the law or keeping a particular law the center of the Christian faith. Don't ever imagine that focusing on one particular form of sinfulness determines faithfulness. Because whenever we start with the law, you know what we've done? We've kicked Jesus off center stage, which is where Jesus belongs, center. Jesus on the cross, Calvary. He is the center, the anchor, the heart of the Christian faith. The grace of God given. For God so loved the world, he gave, right? And all who see Jesus there as the Savior, the Lamb of God, all who receive him as the gift he is, are crucified with Christ. And our identity then is tied to the person of Jesus. So it's no longer just me who's alive here, but it's Christ who lives in me. And he lives in me, because the cross wasn't the end of it, was it? And Paul wants to put this really starkly, right? There's this old sinful nature, and it shows up in these ways, and there's the Spirit in us and his presence in us, and it shows up in those ways. And the difference is real. You see it, you know it, you recognize it. It's as clear as the difference between that and that. But if we in any way try to imagine that obedience is going to win us brownie points with God, we are barking up the wrong tree. It's grace. Grace, first and foremost. Yeah, Paul says, you know what, even when you're this new person, even when you're this in Christ person, you know what? You're still going to get things wrong. The old nature is going to show up and crash the party sometimes, and you're going to need to be forgiven absolutely often and a lot. Sin is still sin. That doesn't change. But don't let this trip you up, says Paul. Don't let this weigh you down with guilt and unworthiness again. Look, you want to talk about guilt and unworthiness? Yeah, that's who you are in yourself. That's who I am in myself. But it's not just me anymore. Or you. We've been crucified with Christ. So our identity in life, our position in life, our privilege is to know ourselves first as a beloved daughter or son of God the Father, a brother or sister of Jesus. Free from condemnation and free to live as a really human being, an image of God. And then what Paul does is he paints two pictures, and one is a picture of ugly, and the other is a thing of beauty. Here's the ugly one. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what? In that ugly picture, there's no respect in that picture for others. And there's no respecting of self. This is a picture which describes us as sinners. We don't know ourselves then as the images of God. And we don't see others that way either. And that's when it gets ugly. And then there's that second picture. It's a thing of beauty. It's the fruit of the Spirit's presence in those who've been crucified with Christ and made alive in Christ. And that's when you hear those other words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is a picture of people who know God's deep love and heart in Jesus. I am forgiven. I am free. And because I have been dealt with so gently in spite of my ugly, sinful nature, I am free to deal with others in the same way. This is what you are free to do as people who identify, whose identity is in Christ. And then there's that delightful encouragement that Paul adds. It's one of the funniest and most beautiful lines in the scripture. Against such things, there is no law. Against this fruitfulness, this picture of beauty, there is no restriction, no constriction. Let me ask, can anything be too beautiful? Can anything be too beautiful? Can a flower be too beautiful? Can a sunrise or a sunset be too beautiful? Can the aurora boreal, can that be too beautiful? Paul says, you can never be too gentle. Says Paul, yeah, and says the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a two-minute penalty for gentleness. Oh, that was way too much, a major 5 minutes, maybe even a misconduct. This fruit, this gentleness, this describes the powerful way of God. The opposite of gentleness is meanness, harshness, bullying, anything which disrespects or devalues or disregards or diminishes another. That's not gentle. We saw that in that story that Aria read for us, the way of Elisha, God's prophet, right? In a moment when meanness or payback or vindictiveness, when those were the first things that popped into the king's mind, shall I kill them? And Elisha said, no. No, we need to let these people know who they're dealing with. We served them food and water. In fact, he prepared a feast for them. We provide, we give, we show kindness, we treat them with dignity, we show them that the strong suit of God is grace. Wow. And then, just to underline all of this, the reason we can be so sure that an overflowing cup of gentleness is just what the doctor, the great physician, ordered, we see gentleness in the person of Jesus. In the season of Lent, we turn our eyes to Jesus hanging there on the cross. And from so many vantage points, Jesus on the cross is a victim. The trial was unfair. The witnesses were false. They lied. He was a coward for a judge. There's opportunity for anger, for bitterness. Opportunity for Jesus to step off of that cross and inflict some pain of his own. But Jesus bears his heart on the cross. God bears his heart with Jesus on that cross. And what do you hear? A tender word to his mother, to his son, John, Mary. You hear a tender word to a thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You hear a prayer Father, forgive them, my accusers. Forgive them, my enemies, those who've treated me so severely. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What do you hear in those words of Jesus? I hear a gentleness, that is to say, I hear no meanness, I hear no harshness, no disrespect. I don't hear Jesus saying, get it right, people. Do better. You know that my being here is your fault. What you hear is a deep concern for the well-being of those around him. Even then. Especially then. And isn't that what the death of Jesus was really all about? Jesus didn't use his power to push anybody down, to steamroll over anybody, to brush people aside as if they don't matter. Insignificant. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Jesus doesn't force himself on anyone. He comes to set free. He does it through love, a love which suffered. The fruit of the Spirit's presence in Jesus was a gentleness towards others, tender even while he himself was in agony, in body and in soul. That's the picture of gentleness worth looking for. That's the kind of gentleness that's a picture that we want to step into. That's the kind of gentleness and the picture of gentleness that we want to help create. Let's sing about that for a moment. No Weight of Gold or Silver is the name of the song.